This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
NordVPN. Get advanced security, internet freedom, and complete privacy. Save 73% off the 2-year plan plus 4 months free with code MMA Nuts.
Wild Alaskan Company, healthy, affordable, convenient fish sent right to your door. Save $25 off with code BIGFISH25. Tire Buyer, buy tires online, get them shipped for free to an installer of your choice. Save 12% off with code MMA12. Paleo on the go. Find delicious meals that fit your specific diet. Save $20 off your first 3 orders with code MMA25. Defense Soap. Everyday soaps for everybody. Use code MMA Nuts to save 15% off your order.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 673.
673.
My name's Igor Weigel.
Matt Griff, MMA Show. By our fans, for our fans, walk the line between serious and ridiculous. What are you drinking over there? Lyoto Machito piss water?
Yes. Awesome. Exactly that.
I hear it's good for your stamina. Stamina. Yeah. As Rampage would say. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Do you watch some Olympics? What's going on, Ingo?
I did. I lost a little bit of interest near the end. I mean, we cleaned up in track, right? It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, it was.
I feel like we did good in swimming, too. Swimming was good.
Yep, swimming was good. Gymnastics, women's gymnastics, good.
Yeah, that was fun. Men, they got a bronze team.
They did. I actually have a video from, are we allowed to show? There was a Kennedy Blades, a grappler, that had a crazy-ass throw. I don't know.
You could do it. They'll try to copyright it, but I'll try to blur it.
Okay, check this out.
I'll figure it out.
I'm just wondering.
It'd be heavily blurred.
Look, it could be. You can find it. But here she is doing her thing, right? And she's going to throw her opponent. Boom!
Fucking suplexed on her spine.
That's
her neck.
That's the end of the road.
And she'll never walk again, but, you know.
I mean, the interesting thing to me is,
yes,
Blades doesn't seem as bulky as this other chick. Like, she just picked her up like it was nothing. So, not getting up. I think she ended up being okay, but, you know, ouch.
That looked like a severed spinal cord. I'm sure it'll all work out. They'll figure it out. She'll be all right.
Yeah.
Or she won't. The one thing I saw that I didn't understand at all is I watched some of the women's breakdancing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the fuck I just watched because... and it was also weird because they're on this circle raised platform and... one of them's going off while the other one's mean mugging that person. And then they bust a move. And then that person's like throwing gang signs at him. Like, you've done that 4 times. Like, I don't understand the criteria. I don't understand the scoring. And, you know, I was an avid breakdancer back in 1983. I don't know any of these fucking moves anymore. Like, where was the basic shit? Like the wave, the worm, the helicopter, a basic... Mm-hmm. Backspin, a head spin, maybe a coffee grinder. I don't know. Yeah. Do some fucking robot. I did see one person do the robot, but I'm going to tell you. There you go. Women were fucking horrific. Like, and I don't know what country. I think the woman from Australia that was trying to break dance, I think she was on the head of a committee to approve who goes to the Olympics for breakdancing, her and her husband. And I think they voted her in and she did the worst fucking routine ever. And the whole internet was making fun of her. And apparently at the next Olympics in LA, breakdancing will not be a sport in there. Shocking. I don't know how they decide that, because remember, the other thing that's happening is we were so good in baseball and softball that they threw those events out of Olympics because we were just cleaning up. But come LA in 2028, those two are going back in.
Nice.
So I don't know if it's the host country decides who gets to put what in there.
Well, maybe they have some, I don't know either. Maybe they have choices on a couple of events like that they can swap.
Yeah, they said 5 are going in. And I know breakdancing goes out, but... it's odd. It was odd. It was a weird Olympics too. Like opening and closing ceremony, weird. Very weird. But I think we dominated again. I think we tied with China for most golds, but we cleaned up in the overall. And that's what it's all about. And then there's some drama with, I think, the women's gymnastics. A woman got a bronze, wasn't supposed to get a bronze.
Oh, yeah. Because they didn't have the difficulty in, correct?
Yeah.
But the judges didn't. It wasn't the team. And so then they didn't catch it till like 64 seconds, supposedly. And they have only 60 seconds to like protest, which I think is kind of gay. Like, if the judges make a mistake, shouldn't they fix the mistake? Like,
yeah. And I think the U.S. even proved they did protest within the time limit. And the U.S. said, guess what? We're not fucking giving that bronze medal back. So you can go fuck yourself. It's ours. You gave it to us. It's ours. You can't be given to take it shit away. So anyway, Olympics, they were fun. And last thing I want to say about that, why don't we do this shit every year? Why is it every four?
I think they just need time to train and stuff, is my guess.
But they're training year round, or do it every like host country summer, winter time,
probably to set everything up, because it's such a global scale of like travel.
The building of it. Well, maybe they shouldn't have those then. If you don't have your shit set up, you don't get the Olympics.
Right. Well, you're talking about travel and hiring people. I think it's a little bit of that, some logistics type stuff is my guess.
I don't know. It feels awesome. Like, I enjoyed watching that. It's like, ooh, it's prime time. Let's see what's going on, even though it already fucking happened and I already saw a bunch of the shit.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And then you forget about it for 4 years and it comes back. Because the Winter Olympics are kind of like, like the summer.
Summer's better, I think, too. Yeah. The winter has some cool shit here and there. Like, you know, like the luge. It's insane. What do they call the one? The skeleton? Where they go head freaking head first.
Like, on this little board.
Are you serious?
Good luck with that.
You guys are
going
crazy.
Like 120. White knuckle. Cool, man.
There is no way that person is in full control over that thing. Oh. It's like Jesus flying.
Yeah. So hold on and pray.
Yep.
Speaking of which, let's get into the MMAs. We got a little UFC 305 happening this weekend.
Yes, sir.
Let me pull up the card here. I'll share the screen. Got Dricus Du Plessis versus Israel Adesanya.
Hell yeah.
Middleweight title bout. You got a flyweight fight. You got this lightweight bout, which is sketchy too. Heavyweight, Ty Duvasa versus Rozenstruik. Well, welterweight action, and you know, kind of falls off. This chick's a booty dancer, so that's kind of cool. Laura Santos.
Yeah,
she was doing a video with that one chick, Drama. Learn how to booty dance. Uh-oh. But anyway, let's talk about the main event.
Du Plessis versus Adesanya.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me just give the stats real quick, and then I'll throw it over to you. So, Israel Adesanya, 35 years old. He's 24-3 versus Dricus Du Plessis. He's 30 years old, 21-2.
Wow.
And Adesanya is coming off, you know, he took a year off of the sport to kind of, I think, get his head back together after a loss to Strickland. And here we go. What do you think?
Well, all right. I feel like this one's a toss up. I don't like, basically, if Adesanya can like work a little bit of that, like stand up, maybe, you know, keeps the spacing and the jab and doesn't get like shoved around, I think he could either KO him in spectacular fashion or win by decision. But the problem is Du Plessis, he's pretty good at making the fight a little grapply. So if he takes him down and like just has like a, you know, knocked out like brawl kind of thing going on, I don't know that Adesanya can handle that. So I could see the other guy, Du Plessis, also winning like a decision or some sort of a freak KO because he's, you know, from grappling or whatever. So I don't know. But I think knockouts of either guy's probably not likely is my thought.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a decision, and I'll pull up both of their kind of stats so we can kind of take a look at the background here. So start with Dricus. So he's more of an even fighter when you look at him. He's got he's not think it's crazy, a 9-fight win streak, 9 wins by knockout, 10 fights by submission.
Wow.
The weird thing is they're saying his takedown accuracy is 52% with 31 attempted and 2 landed. Apparently the 2 landed has got to be wrong. that percentage might be a little bit off.
Maybe
a little
20.
Bit off. But it says he's got 3 takedowns per fight. So I like looking at this significant strikes by target. So he's a fucking headhunter. Look at that. Yeah. 65% to the head, 16% to the body, 19% to the leg. And then I want to throw it over to Adesanya, mm-hmm. who again been out for a year. Look at his takedown average, 0.05 per 15. Again, this takedown accuracy not right. But look at how he mixed up.
This site's
fucked up. He mixes up his strikes a lot better. So 48% to the head, 20% to the body, and way more to the leg, 32%. So, you know, Adesanya used to be the champion. Not anymore. And one of the things I'm going to struggle with in this fight is just because Dricus is a bigger fighter, Adesanya struggles. Who is it? Blachowicz, when he went up to challenge him at 205 and he got fucking handled. Pereira, the first time he fought him, like you're basically getting hit by a light heavyweight at this point from Dricus. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a huge advantage for Dricus.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
And the weird thing is pretty much across the board, Adesanya is the favorite, which I don't understand that, but I think Dricus should be. And then looking at Dricus, he posted a little training video, and I don't know if this was on an embedded or what, but his head coach said that his assistant coach is a taser. So he's got this long rod that's a taser that, I don't know, it looked like it was from one of those movies. I don't know if it was Judge Dredd where they're using a taser or something, but anyway, it was like a big long stick. Looks like a billy club with a taser
baton
in the end.
Kind of
yes.
Thing? Yes.
Yes. So basically when they're making mistakes, he calls it, this is fixing the problem. And then he like hits him in the foot. He makes him lay down, belly down on the ground, and then hits him in the foot with this fucking taser.
Ouch.
And Dricus was saying it's a better mental note than writing on a sticky note. So it's really embedding, like when you fucked up, you're getting electroshock therapy. So
these people are nuts, man.
I know, but hey, like, he's a fucking champion. What the fuck? So who am I to argue? Okay. But so then Drake has posted a little bit of his heavy bag work.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is super loud. So let's turn this down. Share the screen. He's got a secret training method. I appreciate this. This looks fun as hell.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Okay, time.
There's no time. Oh. Oh, there goes your liver.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. Those guys know how to party. Holy
they
shit.
Sure do. That's extreme.
Yeah, I'm not playing games. So I like that. He's got a sense of humor. The one thing Dricus does is he'll take some punishment though in a fight. So I feel like his striking defense it should probably be a little bit better, because you look at some of his fights when he comes out and his face
better than
is
the guy in the back.
Yeah, a little bit better, right? And then throwing it back over to Adesanya. So Dan Hooker, who trains with him, who also is fighting on this card and who also hasn't fought in like a year,
mm-hmm.
was saying he's just looking scary now. He's hitting harder than he's ever hit before. he's got some kind of new strength and power. I guess he just didn't have the time to do it, to lift weights. He was fighting as a champion five times a year. Obviously, he didn't have time to lift weights and focus on strength training. So, yeah, for him to have some more time to add a bit more size to his frame, it really has positively impacted his performance. So,
okay.
Like, isn't that weird, though? Like, doesn't everybody strength train? Like, I don't understand that.
I mean, if you're working, I don't know, if you're working on skills for a fight, I imagine you're not lifting heavy during any of that. You know, they're talking you know, lifting for bulk.
Yeah. I mean, he's never a guy to cut weight for 185. So I don't know. I think that, and it probably makes sense because he knows he's fighting a bigger dude and he's bulked up, but I don't know mentally where he's at too. Cause I feel like he was kind of broken and that's why he had to take, and it's just probably, it's almost like that GSP syndrome where you're so good for so long. And I know GSP had that one loss to Matt Serra, but he came back right away and fucking avenged that. And
too much pressure. He talked about all the pressure he felt like he was under all the time.
Yeah. GSP. And I wonder if Adesanya is feeling that same pressure.
Maybe.
And it's probably hard when you're so used to being the hammer and then you become the nail and you're like, fuck this, man. I've just taken two losses. I got to fucking step away from the sport. When I'll try to bulk up, and bulking up doesn't always work. Cause, and again, I'll throw it, like, remember Frank Mir tried that.
Did not work.
It did not work. He's like, I want to bulk up to be this big jack guy. Like, well, you got to do what your body wants to do. So I'm trying to put this all together. And I think basically in my head, I'm saying Dricus. So I'm going to go against the grain.
Okay.
Pick Dricus. The one thing we haven't done in forever is we used to do the magic eight ball all the time and ask. Got to bring the magic eight ball.
So you got Dricus. I got Adesanya.
Yeah.
The eight ball.
Magic eight ball. Is Israel Adesanya going to win this fight? Let's see if I can even read it. I can't even see what it says. You can go. Hang on. I need a light. My eight ball is rusty. Let's shake it again.
Oh, man.
Oh, it says yes. It's just a straight up yes now.
Perfect.
So easy. It's 2-1. We'll see. I remember the day when, remember when we were doing that all the time, we were picking every single card, every single fight. There were times where the Magic 8-Ball would beat us.
Like a lot too.
Well, it'd be just you, but not me.
Okay, fair.
No, it would be both of us.
I was streaky. Sometimes I had a good outing, and then when it was bad, it was a train wreck. It was just bad across the board.
Yeah, but that was so fun. So I said, you know what? We got to bring a Magic 8-Ball back.
Absolutely. We'll
bring him back.
Why not?
Let's see. Let's pull up the card again.
You wanted to talk about the heavyweights, I thought.
I was just going to bring up the card real quick.
Yeah, do it.
Because the other one is this Dan Hooker versus Gamrot.
Mm-hmm. Is that on your radar?
I don't like Dan Hooker's chances at all. At all. I was going to say, I feel like Gamrot, if you're into betting, Gamrot might be a safe bet. But again, MMA is super dangerous to bet on. But let's go to this heavyweight fight. Someone's getting knocked out in the fucking first round. It's Tuivasa and Rozenstruik. I don't know how many first round knockouts these guys have between them, but you pull up Tuivasa. Can we pull up Tuivasa?
He's got 13.
He's on a losing streak, though, unfortunately.
Four fight losing. They both have 13 knockouts. So 26 knockouts between the two of them.
But look, someone got finished round one, round two, round one. This one, unfortunately, round three, round two, round two. Okay, I don't know what I'm fucking talking about. Here we go. Round one, round one, round one.
It's going to be 4.5 minutes or less is my guess.
Maybe
2.5 minutes or less, potentially. But it'll be exciting.
Let me get the ads off. I want to go to Rozenstruik. Round four, round one, round one. Come on, don't let me down.
Oh, there's a decision.
Round three.
First blades.
But you get the gist of it. It's going to more than likely not go to decision. And I want to say it was Rozenstruik that's the favorite in this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a minus 230. I lean towards Tuivasa. Tuivasa is actually ranked a little bit higher. I don't know. I feel I like the he's got that Mark Hunt kind of vibe to me.
He does. So
I lean towards Tuivasa.
I just think it's going to be Rozenstruik by KO.
It could be. Do you want to go eight ball to settle this?
Sure. Why not?
Tuivasa win this fight. Oh, that was a liner. Liners are never good. I think I'm going to need a new eight ball. Oh, Tuivasa will win without a doubt. I'm going to have to get a new eight ball. When you've been using those for a while, they get very inky when you're trying to read it. So you can't see very well.
Oh,
and nice. I'm like half blind. So
yeah. Well, it's like 20 years old, probably, that thing.
I want to say we may have used that last in 2015.
Wow. Okay.
That's just crazy, right? You know, we've been doing this podcast for what, 14 years?
Yeah, sounds right.
Started in 2010.
Yes.
January 1st, 2010, somewhere around there. So that's wild.
Insane.
In the membrane.
Absolutely. So,
Let's do a little sponsor action here.
Hell yeah. This episode is brought to you by MyBookie. We just talked about the main event of Israel Adesanya versus Dricus du Plessis. You know, it's one thing to watch the fight. It's another thing to watch the fight and then, have a little bit of action on it.
Yeah, you know? I feel like that's what makes it way more exciting. You have a little cabbage riding on things. And you can even throw that over to college basketball, right? When it's the March Madness.
Hell yeah.
You're like, oh, what's going on? Villanova. I got the worst team like back in college, like many years ago. Like, I want that team and they win and blah, blah, blah.
You make millions.
Makes things way more exciting.
Yes. So, there's been a lot of trash talk between Dricus and Adesanya, which makes the main event at 305 a must watch. The added stakes of the middleweight championship on the line mean both fighters will be at their best, which is exactly why you need to bet on this fight.
Yeah, I want to say this too real quick. Sorry, I forgot to even mention that when we were talking in our breakdown, is that Adesanya is coming into this fight angry, and I feel like that works against him because when you're angry, you're not processing at a level of flow. You need to be flowing.
Too aggressive.
Yes.
Could be crazy.
Yes.
So, hey, whether you're using MyBookie or you've never heard of it, UFC 305 is a great place to get started or to keep going because cash in on every punch, kick, and takedown, winning big from wherever you are, whatever you want. Best part, no app, no hassle. Just use our code MMANUTS, sign up, and let's get into the action.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I'm still just trying to think about this fight because I know we were talking about this just prior and you were taking Adesanya, and I'm taking Dricus.
Yep.
And
the 8-bell is taking Adesanya.
Yeah, see, it's 2-1 against me. I like those odds.
Okay.
And Adesanya is the favorite, and I still think that's kind of weird because Dricus is a champion, and he's a bigger fighter, and I feel like that is that's Adesanya's kryptonite in this fight. So when you're going to place a bet, you should look at MyBookie. You can get in now. Use promo code MMANUTS. You claim your deposit bonus of any amount up to $1,000. Plus, you get a $10 casino chip. That's code MMANUTS. You can grab a little extra for your starting bankroll risk-free. And don't miss out on UFC 305. There's going to be a couple good fights. I mean, that Rozenstruik Tuivasa fight.
Gonna be amazing. You're talking about one Hooker, right? That fight
could
be Gaimrot.
Yes,
we're not telling you who to pick, but if you remind, maybe you'll know.
Well, if you want to challenge us, take a shot. And you know what? Don't miss out on UFC 305. Bet any fight from anywhere, anytime, only on MyBookie. And remember, again, no app. Just go to the website. Have some fun.
Yes. This episode is sponsored by Lucy, 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free, 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free.
I said it twice. Super nice.
Exactly. Lucy isn't like every other nicotine pouch company that's owned by Big Tobacco. They're like the mom and pop shop of pouches. Pouches come in a variety of strengths from 4 milligrams all the way up to 12. If you're going for it, Lucy offers a variety of flavors, including apple ice, wintergreen mango, and espresso. If you're not a pouch guy or gal, Lucy gum is available in 2, 4, or 6 milligrams. Set yourself up with a subscription and have Lucy delivered straight to your door. Save 20% with code FIT20. No commitment, cancel anytime.
That's right. And you, let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. You can go to lucy.co/fit20 and use promo code FIT20 to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co. Use code FIT20 to get 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, warning, danger, Will Robinson. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
So, yeah, right. Let's see. This episode is sponsored by Drift Air Freshener. Drift makes air fresheners for your car. They use premium fragrances with clean ingredients on organic materials that are sustainably sourced.
That's what it's all about. Substantially, sustainably sourced. Hey, guess what? They just came out the new scent, Bungalow.
Mm. I smell it from here.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's amazing.
It's so good. I've had this open. I'm afraid to take it out, but it's on delicious wood here, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to describe it, but it's fresh, warm, maybe even beachy, somewhat island. But overall, it's just fresh. It's not overpowering. Perfect for long road trips. And we have a special deal for our listeners. You can take, here you go. You can save 20% off with code MATT20 at drift.co/MMANuts. That's 20% off with code MATT20 at drift.co/MMANuts. Just like that. Back to the show. What else is going on?
Well, just want to talk about UFC 306 a little, you know, again, because it continues to be more and more interesting. Well, that's it.
Interesting.
So there's an interview that I was reading about Schleimer, who's a part of the event crew for the UFC 306, says that this could be one of the most expensive things we're seeing at the Sphere. And also the UFC is going to make the most money on one event that they've ever made. I think he's saying that they spent at least $17 million on the production of this point for this sucker. And it continues to grow. So I don't know, fingers crossed they actually recoup their money, because that's a big, you know, amount of loss. And the interesting thing that I would want to bring up because of this, when you look at all the people that are playing, I think, is it Journey or the Eagles are playing there at the Sphere coming up. And I think they're doing a residency. And I think there's like 20 shows or something. So like you can recover in how the hell do you recover in one show? Like
I can show you.
Yeah.
You want to see?
Ticket prices? $10,000 for a nosebleed ticket?
Well, basically, you can't get a ticket for under $1,000 right now.
Wow.
So here you go. This is on StubHub. So you can kind of see as I scroll through, 2 from 13,000, 7 from 4,000, 5244. So like in the down and dirty right by the Octagon, $4,000 is the cheapest. And then you can kind of see 1,900, 1,800. And the 100 level, you don't really want to be down there. You really want to be right around the Octagon or go higher, because you can see 100 levels are in the thousands, but you go to 200, which is probably way... 200 is probably perfect for this, but who the fuck wants to pay $2,000 to $3,000 for a fight?
That's a lot of money.
And then I have another site. I'm going to pull up Vivid Seats. Let's pull those up. But it's the same scenario, just a different format of showing everybody. Of okay, 32,000. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I want to pay 32,000 for row 10, 43,000 for row 5. Are you fucking high? $4,000, $4,000, 27. Oh, fuck off with your ad. I'm trying to show stuff. But yeah, it's kind of weird though, because I want to say all the 100s are floor level flat, so you don't want to sit there.
Oh, okay. That's
why you want to be in a two. This is where you get the stadium seating.
Okay.
And again, for you two, I sat 406 row 3.
And you said it was awesome.
It was perfect. Because I knew that the band was going to be super small. Mm-hmm. And for that, I'm going more for the experience, listening to the music. I want to see the whole thing. But fights, this is going to be super confusing.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they make this. Yeah.
And especially as a fighter with all that visual light distraction that's going to be thrown on the octagon. Good fucking luck with that.
Right.
Someone might have a seizure from all the nonsense that's fucking happening, because it's not, it'll start below the cage, all the light mm-hmm. shit coming at people. And it's so bright, it looks like you're fucking outside. You can't tell the difference between, am I sitting inside or am I actually outside right now?
That's wild. Okay.
I think I'm outside. It's insane. It doesn't make sense, like how HD that shit is. But yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see. We shall see. I mean, good for the fans, horrible for the fighters. But when it's all said and done, they're probably spending the UFC $20 million on it.
Yeah.
And we're only going to do it once because fuck. And the other thing, just like a side note, I know they've been doing all these fights at the UFC Apex. That is under construction now.
Right.
I think it's not going to open until summer of 2025, because they're doing like WWE shit there, and they want to do more UFC events there. They just don't have a big enough facility because they want more people to attend. So you're adding more seats, probably adding more concessions and everything mm-hmm. else that goes with. They're basically just building a bigger venue,
which makes sense.
So it's just going to be interesting. Where will they put all that shit?
It's a good question. I was just thinking about something. Yeah. You know, if you're the UFC, you could say it's a one-time Sphere event and you can do all the graphics and stuff and recoup as much money as you can up front and then go, well, it went so well, we're going to do it again. And now you don't have to redo all the graphics. And it costs way less, if not less than half price.
Yeah.
And I think this is the scheme. This is the scam they're pulling. They're like, it's a one and done.
Well, it's like some of the bands, like this is a retirement tour. This is the last tour we're ever doing for the sixth time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And another side note, did you see fucking Aerosmith just said they're done?
Steven Tyler's voice.
I don't know how old he is. He's got to be late 70s, probably.
Yeah. Well, those are not easy songs to sing.
No, and think about how screechy his voice is, too. Not easy. Let's see what else is going on. So, Francis Ngannou is returning to MMA.
No kidding.
He's going to fight Hanan Fahea, or I'll say Ferreira. For the UFC, or sorry, for the PFL heavyweight title, wishful thinking, on October 19th. So that's kind of weird, right? I wasn't thinking he'd ever come back to MMA again. I just thought, if you're in boxing and you just got fucking horribly knocked out and you're 0-2, but you really won that Tyson Fury fight, and I feel he got robbed, and then he got brutally knocked out. And he had that drama going on in his personal life. I don't want to talk about, but odd, right? Odd.
Well, he's trying to make some money, and he thinks he can use his strength more in MMA, and he's used to the smaller gloves and the whole nine yards. So he's going to hit someone, more likely to knock somebody out. Boxing may be different. You know, I don't know. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I just worry because I don't think that's an easy fight to come back to MMA on.
No.
I think that's a real tough fight for him, so we'll see. And then one other quick fight announcement. Here you go. Bellator champ versus PFL champ. You got Chris Cyborg going to take on Larissa whatever.
Pacheco?
Thank you.
I think. October. We got some time. Okay.
You know who's going to win.
Of course, the cyborg.
The cyborg. She doesn't have that many fights left in her, unfortunately.
No.
She's done some work, and that's going to be a sad day when she retires. What else is happening out there?
Okay, well, I was reading about the UFC and their pay-per-view pricing on ESPN. Yes. And it seems like because they've increased their price from $59.99 to what I think was it $79.99. Now, they've somehow passed some kind of point where piracy has gone way up because people aren't going to pay that amount of money. So the interesting thing is one of the UFC execs said, well, the one thing that they do is they offer the price at a discounted price, the fights at a discounted price if you buy it early enough.
I'll say it right now. So like when you buy the current pay-per-view, they offer you the next one for $10 off.
Okay. So it's $69.99. Yes. But as long as you keep buying them right away, kind of, you gotta wait.
It's like you're pre-buying.
Right. And they think that that's going to stave off the piracy, that model, but it seems like it's not. Because it is expensive. I'm not going to lie. The quality of product that I remember when I first started watching, 15, 16 years ago, was way better. The cards were so much more exciting than these ones are. And I think it's difficult to like have this watered down thing cost $80. You know, it just UFC 100. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Would pay $80, you know, but. Mm-hmm. Not UFC 303 or 304, you know?
No, and it's just crazy because I think the UFC was blaming ESPN for the price increase. Like, oh, they went too fast, and I don't even know what the right price is. I feel like it's $39.99 is the sweet spot because I felt once you hit 60, I'm like, damn, that's pricey. Now you're at fucking 80. 80 right. Is look at the economy, look at what people are doing. We were just talking about this pre-show, like shit is expensive and people may be holding back.
Right.
And I was just thinking about, I like to feed birds. I'm paying $20 for bird seed all the time. Like, do I need to be feeding them that much? Maybe I don't use two bird feeders. Maybe I just use one. I'll come back a little bit.
So $10?
Yeah. So yeah. I can half my price. I feel like shit needs to be half the price. Maybe go just go to $39.99. And then you don't have to do this buy one, get the next one at a discount because it again, like what you're saying, is quality and quantity. UFC is more interested in quantity right now. They have a contract. So they're just like, it's churn and burn versus back in the day. And even way back in the day, it was just numbered cards. It wasn't all these bullshit fight nights where every card was fucking awesome, but it was one every 3 months. So there was a buildup.
Yeah.
And now it's every weekend and there's no off. But that's kind of good when you're trying to sell it to these streaming platforms or whoever wants to buy it because every other sport has a season. UFC is all
the time.
Year. So great never for stops. Them, but terrible for the consumer.
Right.
Because you just don't have enough fighters in the top 10 that are going to facilitate great cards all the time. So it's like you need to cut back on some of the cards, and they're never going to do that.
No.
You got to increase the quality.
Right. Because they got to get everybody fighting all the time.
Right. So I was going to ask you, like, what do you think the sweet spot is for the price for like a pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think 39 is fine. I mean, 49 is probably more fair if you think about it. I don't want to pay more, obviously, but I'm just saying 39. I don't know why they can't have different pricing for each one. Or
they did that because remember like a couple of the Conor McGregor cards, I think they jacked it up. Like, oh, this is a fucking really good card. Then you get into that weird dynamic pricing like, area.
How do you know what, you know, so yeah. Right. I think 39 or 49 probably is fine. 29 is too cheap and 59 seems too expensive.
Yeah. So. That $40 area.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I also saw Damon Martin tweeted this one out. He was saying TKO Group Holdings, basically the owners of the UFC, confirmed today that Saudi Arabia paid a $20 million site fee for the card in June, which he says he previously reported. That partnership is expanding with the UFC 306 sponsorship in a second event in Saudi Arabia coming in 2025. So I'm just wondering, is this extortion? And is this why we've never seen a UFC Hawaii? Because that was the rumor I always heard, is that Hawaii is not going to pony up these big bucks. That's why Bellator was going out there before the UFC. Like, they've had multiple events out there.
Yeah.
You know, Max Holloway's been begging the UFC, please come to my home island. Mm-hmm. And Hawaii's probably like, I'm going to fucking pay you $5 million site fee. Because it's like they're trying to take some of whatever revenue the UFC's bringing in by whatever the people that are staying there, the accommodations, the rental cars, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely. That makes total sense.
So I don't know how you get around it. I just feel like Hawaii should have a fucking card, because that would be should. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, but you know, people pay, it's like a marketing fee, you know, you're like, you come.
Yeah. But like what where is that lever, though? What's the number? Does it depend? Oh, Hawaii, $10 million. Or right. Fuck you. Like, that's what it feels like.
Probably.
Pay the man his money? I don't know.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Let's see. Chris Weidman versus Eric Anders is happening at UFC 309 in November. He's going to.
Did Anders test positive for something? I thought he popped. Or was that someone else?
I don't remember that. No. Like recently?
Maybe it was someone else, because I know Weidman tweeted out about someone.
Oh.
Can't find just trying to pull up for news on him real quick. No, I think we're still good.
It's going to happen, seems like.
Spell the guy's name right, because he's got a weird Eric name. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. Someone else, Weidman, was crying about testing positive.
He cries about everybody. So
he does.
He's like, cheating here, cheating there. I'm not cheating.
Yeah, nobody's cheating. That's fun. We'll see how he does. Did you see this one? Charles Felony Bennett ended his 21-fight losing skid.
No.
Across all combat sports.
How do you do that?
Let's see here. Oh, that's so loud. A rear naked choke. And a little backflip. You heard me? Backflip.
Yeah. There he goes.
Oh, a little low on that one.
Jeez, he spiked himself.
There's his 22 fight losing streak.
That is a lot of losses.
That's insane. Who was that other guy? Was it Travis Fulton? He's the one who had like 300 fights.
But and he had a 20-fight losing streak?
I don't know if he had 20-fight losing streak. I feel like he was winning more than he was losing. But I can see if I can pull him up real fast. Travis Fulton. I think he actually just stopped fighting within the last year.
Wow. Seriously? Isn't he like 60
years
old?
He's fought over 300 times.
Yeah.
He had 255 wins and 54 losses.
Not terrible.
Yeah, he went on a run. Yeah, he didn't lose that many in a row.
No.
I'm just scrolling through. He's
got
a lot of
wins.
Yeah.
They're mixed in there, a few losses here and there.
Yeah. He only had a couple that lost at time, but he was the Iron Man, hence the name.
Mm-hmm.
255 and 54. Wow. That's ridiculous. CTE, what the fuck is that, right?
Right.
There's a guy that doesn't subscribe. You don't subscribe. What else is going on?
I got one more video, and then I just have knockouts. So, Paddy Pimblett, did you see this video of him training and how much freaking bigger he is now? He said he gained 46 pounds.
Holy shitballs.
So, I think he's – is it right? I thought I had it on the right spot. He's going to step on a scale here.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of see –
so you're going to be in kilos or pounds?
It's kilos, like 92 kilos. Oh, 89 kilos. So I don't know if you can do the conversion, but he said he gained 46 pounds.
Of course he did. He likes to eat. And I don't know. It may be a good strategy, maybe not. As long as he makes weight, that's fine. But
202, it says.
Holy
it is.
Fuck. I think that's too far to go, though.
That's like you gotta Johnny
be
Hendricks
within reason, yeah.
And Anthony
Rumble.
Rumble, like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ, you're killing yourself.
There's a balance. I mean, I understand you gotta let loose a little bit. You don't want to be super strict or you'll go crazy.
Right.
But let loose within guidelines, maybe 20, 25, half of what you're doing. Eat half that fucking pizza. I don't know.
Yep.
Let's do some tweet of the week. Let's see what we got. I don't even know what that. So this is just a weird one. It's not even like a funny thing, but apparently GSP's drunk Muay Thai coach is training with John Jones. Do you remember him on the Ultimate Fighter show? Like,
yeah, he was a beast.
Yes, he was just fucking KOing people on the show. GSP's like, well, that's what he does. He's hammered, but he fucking
yeah.
He comes in here, he knocks you out, and he talks French to you.
That's right.
I don't even think he spoke English. He probably just fucked people up in French.
Yep.
And then we could do some KO of the week. You want to start us off?
Yeah. So I have a. Should I just go through all of them?
Yeah.
Here's a boxing KO. Knocked him out cold.
I think I have that one too.
See? And then I have this one, which is from about a week ago. From Hardcore Championship. Look at that uppercut.
Oof.
Damn.
It's
like
walked
nasty.
Into it.
Yep. Ate the whole thing.
You like that? Magomedov? Your weird beard? Let's see what I got here. I think I have one of the same. This is a boxing one. Let's make sure we don't do sound. Let's turn sound off.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
That's a dead. And then this one gets a little into it. Unfortunately, like we got to sit through a little bit. But again, it's another left hook coming.
Here we go.
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, he's like orgasming.
Nasty.
I just got killed and I came everywhere. That's weird.
That is weird.
Let's see a caddy face off. I enjoy a good caddy face off once and again.
Yeah,
let's
absolutely.
See, this is Misfits Boxing. The ladies like to get after it sometimes, so here you go.
Oh,
just it's fucking caddy.
Very caddy.
Yeah, let's go. What's up?
Let's go.
Caddy. Something should be said about that. These caddy bitches. I got a couple ass the nuts. Let me open these up real quick. Let's start with this one. So there's a weird move that happened over the weekend. What do you want to call this one? Hang on. It's coming. It's coming. Hang on. Higgies!
I know, Jesus. The bull rhino. Jesus.
Whack-a-mole! Is Max Holloway going to lose his title? Because here we go. I'll share it again. No worries.
I feel like I short-circuited.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, shit. So,
sorry, I'm really tired. I'm back in it.
There's BMF titles, right? So Masvidal and Gaethje both won, and so did Max Holloway. But then the next fight, Masvidal lost, Gaethje lost. Holloway is going to fight. Will he lose the next fight? Is there a BMF curse, like a Madden curse?
I think there is something to it. I think part of what it is, I think some of these guys, that's a big thing for them and they go for it. And I think it fucks with them a little bit. And I think it ends up causing them to lose. Like you were saying earlier, like it, you know, sometimes when it's like, you really want to get after it, you're not as careful or not as calculated and you have a tendency to get knocked out or something or submitted, or 'cause you're riding that edge.
That's right. riding the lightning, chasing that dragon. And right into Knowledge, unless you have anything else.
No, I was just gonna say I have this. Oops, I have these. Do you know what's funny? Sometimes I get like shit on Instagram and I can't find it anywhere, but there's no way to control the volume, so it's annoying because like this, there's funny stuff being said here. But here's this machine, which I don't get to see very often anymore. Here's all like some bloopers about shit that people try to do. He grabs a guy and
oh, Jesus. Oh, so, fuck. Oh, man.
Yeah. You see them.
Yeah.
I remember those are fun. Like the hit, I don't see those anywhere.
There's still one at the Enchanted Castle arcade that we go to. And I hit it the other day, but it had like a defective bag. I don't remember. We maybe went 6 months ago. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to punch this thing. But the bag was so like mushy, you couldn't make good contact on it because it wasn't blown up enough. So it wasn't registering what you hit it at. And obviously I'm not going to hit it as well as I would have hit it fucking 10 years ago, but I'd still hit it decent. Power goes last. Yeah. Speed goes first.
Agreed.
I will close it on this one. This is an interesting shirt at a ball game. I will zoom in a second. Someone was saying maybe this lady needs to cut her hair, but maybe she doesn't.
Anal control.
Yeah.
Perfect. Anyway, TC.
Poor kids. They don't know what the hell's going on. But
like, what is this lady doing? Why does that need to be controlled?
It doesn't need to be.
Yes.
She can do what she wants to do. On that note, let's shut it down.
Well, that has been this week's edition of MA Nuts. My name's Ingo Weigel.
Matt Ruth, thanks for playing.